bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Week 5 Bet the Board podcast, and the theme of this episode will be injuries, injuries, injuries. Payne, we've already seen the market move. I know we'll get to the Texans and Colts in greater detail, but it's been a crazy Thursday morning thus far.
Yeah, a lot of movement. Looks like the groups anticipated some of this happening. They were even willing to lay some 2.5 around 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning. Some guys did a little better, got out ahead. So, unfortunately, not a great Thursday night game, but hopefully we can uncover some stuff later in this podcast for our loyal listeners.
Definitely plenty of intrigue, and as always, you can follow Payne on Twitter, at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman, and make sure to subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast, powered by Bet Online, through iTunes, SoundCloud, or visit us at toddstake.com. And Payne, like we do each and every week, of course, we broke down the Lions-Seahawks game in great detail on Monday. Felt we uncovered some gems. First half under, full game under, said the dog was live. It's always nice when we get a game to kind of play out like it did, but what are some of the major takeaways from both of those teams as we look to figure out where they're headed in this upcoming Week 5?
Well, you know, Lions fans will be probably a little heartbroken by the loss and how it occurred. Long-term picture, probably a beneficial thing to get Jim Caldwell out of town. Seattle, they are what they are. I don't think they're very good. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. I know I had a great article up on the website from one of our writers talking about the Pythagorean theorem, turnover margin. Under 11.5 was one of our biggest positions, and Seattle's just very, very fortunate to be 2-2 at this point.
Yeah, and Seattle, a big game this weekend as they'll travel on a short week out to take on the Bengals. Probably one of the more fascinating Week 5 games, so we'll get to that in greater detail. But before we do so, we'll bring in the man of the hour. I don't know if we call him a legend. I don't know if we call him a myth or what best way to describe him. But Dave Mason from Bet Online joins us, as he does each and every Thursday throughout the course of the fall. Dave, as we already mentioned, you know, it's been a busy morning for odds makers trying to juggle this Texans-Colts game. What are you guys seeing at the shop, my friend?
Yeah, we got hit. We got hit this morning. Actually, a little bit last night, too. I guess, you know, as Payne said, guys anticipating luck being out. So, yeah, we got hit on the money line. The spread went 2.5. Now it's up to -4, -115. Also, you know, luck being out, guys hit the under, too. So that's down to 41 from, I believe it was 43. So as Payne says, it's kind of a busy morning with that announcement. Everybody's ready and fired on their Houston picks right away.
I mean, with this kind of scenario playing out, Dave, do you always feel like it's a little bit trickier for odds makers or bettors alike that it hurts betting handle that the number hasn't been open since you guys unveiled the full board, typically as you do, one of the earliest in the market going on Sunday nights?
Yeah, I mean, we never want to have a game off the board, you know, but especially when it's a time game, you know, we got to get that Thursday night game up as soon as possible. If this was a, you know, Sunday afternoon game, the number would have been down probably until that news came out this morning. But since it's a Thursday night game, and you know, we had people on the website last night and whatever, you know, you got to hang it up there, and hopefully you beat everybody to the punch. But you know, so sharp, it's so hard to beat. On the information, they're just, it seems like they just have everything typed in and ready to hit submit before you can change anything. I mean, we're getting great information too, obviously, but holy cow, sometimes it's hard to beat them to the punch.
Hey, Payne, how do you feel about that information innuendo for Mr. Mason right there, my friend?
You know, it resonates a little bit. I know we talked about this off the air. I thought Houston was the side coming in, and when you get something like this, we talked about how much we dislike Ryan Mallett. And Houston was still the side with Ryan Mallett. At this point, you know, we'll get into greater detail in this game, but there will be some buyback at some point. and hopefully that helps Mason a little bit. Obviously, they don't want to get middled, but they'll get some help, I think, with some Indianapolis money.
And Dave, we know last weekend when you were on the podcast at the same very time, we busted out our little violins for your sob story about how poor the week before had gone. How did that last weekend play out? I have to imagine that, you know, one of the biggest wins from talking to a lot of folks was the St. Louis Rams coming in late for you guys, winning that game outright. But at the same time, we spoke Sunday morning and you said the Packers and 49ers was going to be one of the bigger decisions of the day as well.
NFL Week 3 was, you know, we got the heck beat out of us. But this last weekend was a lot better. The Packers game, that was a huge win for the players. I mean, they were firing all angles on that game, and the Packers helped them out, obviously. So that was a huge loss for the house, and Falcons was pretty big, and, you know, the players definitely had their big wins in there. But the biggest winner for the house was, without a doubt, the Rams over the Cards. I mean, that not only them winning outright, but that there were so many teasers keyed on that game that, you know, there's so many teasers of graded losses just because, you know, the Rams won outright. So, you know, it wasn't only about covering the spread, but it was by covering the spread by that much and winning outright that it just blew teasers to all the heck.
Well, when you talk about teasers, interesting, because I think there's a game that's going to be tied into about 99.9% of the recreational better teasers this weekend. Dallas, New England. Looks by all indications about 90% of the public action is coming in on the road favorite Patriots coming out of the bye. This is a team that hasn't been great under Bill Belichick, but what's it starting to look like for the house? Have to imagine that's going to be the single greatest liability in the afternoon time slot again this weekend.
Yeah, 90%. We're kind of jealous over here. I just checked about 20 minutes ago, and we have it at 99% of the money is on the team. So, God, we wish it was 90%. But no, those percentages will come down a little bit. Probably right around 90% by kickoff. You know, high 80s, early 90s. But yeah, that's gonna be the game. Like you said, a lot of teasers are gonna be keyed on that. You know, whenever you have those games during that 7 points, the favorites is -7, -8, right around there. You know, there's just so much teaser action on it because everybody's teasing it down. You know, that 6 points, and they don't have to win by a field goal now. So, you know, people will be teasing, you know, the Patriots with Falcons. You know, so the Falcons only have to win by one, and the Patriots only have to win by a field goal. Just the straight wager action on that. Game is crazy. I mean, there's two more times acting on this Patriots spread than there is any other spread on the board. So that's going to be a big one, without a doubt.
Payne, do you remember seeing a game getting this much public action between such a high-profile team like the Patriots in recent memory?
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit, and I think books are at a little better number, a little more advantageous number to get some two-way action on this game. I thought 7 was a really bad open from just about every book. You had to get over that key number. We saw this tick up as high as 10. Money did start to come in on Dallas just a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see where this goes, that 4:25 p.m. time slot. We've seen this in the past, the last, you know, handful of years. The public really has their say in the NFL in a game like this. We could see this definitely get back up to 10. There will be some dog money at 10 from what I'm hearing, but this is just really, when you think about it, a bad spot. We know what New England is, but now you have them off a bye week. Now you get Dallas coming in with Whedon. He's without his favorite check down target in Dunbar. It's really going to, as square as it sounds, I think New England still is a very good teaser. Like, I'm typically not on Team Square Bear, but I think the books are going to have trouble with this one. I really do.
Dave, in addition to that game, what other kind of liabilities you're seeing starting to brew for the NFL slate? And I guess on the flip side of that coin, what type of sharp positions have you seen from some of the professional bettors that play through your shop?
Well, for the sharps, we mentioned that Houston game. Houston got pounded this morning and, like I said, a little bit last night. We also saw a little bit on the Bengals. We opened it 2.5, and it's up to 3, and, you know, the sharps were pretty quick to hit that 2.5. As far as public, like I said, the Patriots, massive. Also the Bills over the Titans and the Cards over the Lions. Those are both about 9-to-1 money ratio. So those will be big ones once again. Road chalk, Republicans at road chalk. So those are the games that make or break our day and make or break our player day for the most part on Sunday.
Always interesting how things shape up. And we know you said nobody really probably needed to reload going into last week, and I'm sure there's some players looking for a new shop. What's going on this weekend at Bet Online as far as some of those reload bonuses, discount programs, and all those generous offers that you guys have for new customers and folks that have been with you for a while?
Gotcha. Well, switching gears a tad, you know, the MLB playoffs are here, and we have dime lines up to minus 194. That's about as high as they're going to get anywhere, Vegas, offshore, onshore, whatever. So that for the MLB bettors. NHL started yesterday. We have our NHL odds start out at 10 cents, so boost juice NHL. And, we're going to give you a bonus on top of that. So we'll give Bet Board listeners a 50% one-time bonus. Use promo code BTB50. To check out the details, go over to www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. All the information on that 50% bonus.
Dave, all that hockey talk might get pain to break out in highs, but one last thing before we let you go. You put out an interesting tweet either last night or this morning, can't quite remember, talking about the Cubs-Pirates betting handle being the most that your shop had ever seen in the past. Just to kind of create a little bit of perspective, how does that compare to a typical game on an NFL Sunday? We know pro football is king and everything else follows suit, but when you send out a tweet like that, is it like a Browns-Ravens type scenario on Sunday, or where would it kind of slot, or maybe even be a lot lower than any NFL game you'll see action on this weekend?
No, I mean, typically I would have guessed that. If you were going to ask me this question 2 days ago, I would have said, it's not going to – the action won't close to touching any NFL game. But that's not true. That action on last night on that game, it was probably as much action as a 4 o'clock NFL game. Not a primetime game, but a 4 o'clock NFL game. That's about as much action we're getting. Now, of course, maybe not as much money, but as far as bet tickets, definitely. And a lot of that had to do with not only everybody's betting the Cubs this year. I mean, we're so exposed on them in the World Series future. So everybody loves betting that. Everybody believes that this is their year, I guess. And it was a standalone game last night. You know, there wasn't really a whole heck of a lot outside of the NHL opening day. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot else to hit on. So that has a lot to do with it as well. So, but yeah, we had incredible action on that game last night, and kudos to the bettors because everybody was on the Cubs.
And I'm sure, Dave, as we get deeper into the month of October and these race for the World Series start to crank up a little bit, we'll get your take on exactly what the house is looking at. You mentioned some futures liability. I know a lot of our loyal football listeners are always curious to know what's going on in other sports, but as always, best of luck this weekend, and thanks for the time, my friend.
All right, fellas, enjoy your weekend.
Well, Payne, I can tell you one thing. I'm definitely shocked to hear Dave say that the betting handle was what it was, but I guess anytime you talk about October baseball and it involves the lovable loser Chicago Cubs, you're going to see much more recreational betting interest than you typically would for, say, a Rangers-Giants even World Series game.
Still holding strong on your hate for the Chicago Cubs. Time to give it up, my friend. The Fighting Rizzos are here to stay.
You know what? It's ingrained in my DNA. I grew up a bitter Knicks fan watching the Bulls break my heart year in, year out. So the only solace I can take in the could take in the Chicago suburbs was hoping that the Yankees were going to outperform the Cubs. Now that that ship has kind of sailed, we know the Yankees are fading off into the twilight, as we saw against the Houston Astros. The Cubs are here to stay. You know, it's a lot. You know, it's been 33 years of pent-up hostility towards Chicago sports that are gradually eroding. Thankfully, I don't really see myself as being a true fan of anybody, given the depths that we go to in this business to try and remain unbiased whenever possible.
Yeah, I like them. I think this is interesting because there's not a lot of pressure on Lester. Usually he's been that frontline guy. Arrieta's kind of taken that off his shoulders. Now Lester's kind of in that number two situation. We know he's a better pitcher in the postseason. So it's very, very interesting to see if they can line up two top-notch guys come playoff time and battle the rest of the NL. We talk about this Dodgers team just loaded. It's going to be tough. Not a lot of people talking about them now. They were the beloved team for most of the season, but not a lot of talk now. But when you can potentially line up Kershaw and Greinke four times in a series, they're going to be tough.
I was going to ask, and I know, you know, not to get too much off on a tangent and talk baseball, but typically it goes on the back burner as we get deeper into football season. These teams go through the September doldrums. Kansas City limped to the finish. Houston kind of got hot. Texas got in at the right time. Any other major thoughts as far as where some value might be? I know for me personally, I look at the game tonight between the Jays and the Rangers and see that Giovanni Gallardo has had good track record in the past. Might be a worthwhile look, you know, plus a half a run for the first five. But don't do a ton of baseball myself, so just kind of wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, for me, mostly a totals guy. And again, most of them will be unders. So that's kind of what I look for this time of year. In the futures market, the hold is just so dramatic. I don't see a ton of value out there right now. When you're talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, yes, they're tough, especially at home. Gallardo, not really a frontline guy, but I think you'll see some professional money start to take little nabs at this line. And take the plus $2 dog here. Again, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm more of a totals player. Don't see much on the totals front for this evening. But that's how I look come playoff season.
And I know we'll get Dave's thoughts as we get a little bit deeper in that the Cubs create a lot of liability for a handful of sports books. The Royals doing the same out here in Vegas. And there are plenty of professionals that moved early, sitting on the Jays at 25-1 and the Mets at prices of 18-1 or a little bit higher. Should definitely be one of the more intriguing falls that we've seen with so many fresh faces and unfamiliar franchises competing for a World Series title. But this is a football podcast first and foremost, so let's get into the order of the day, Payne. We'll kind of do some quick hitting analysis on a lot of the marquee games. May as well start in Nashville, where the upstart Titans come into this week a little off a bye. You're looking at Buffalo right now, a 2.5-point favorite at Bet Online. And we know the Bills play with heart. We know they don't play disciplined football. But how the hell do we begin to handicap a team that took 17 penalties a week ago in losing to the New York Giants?
Well, thank God we're talking football again.
I figured you were going to break out into hives, and I didn't want to quite go get your take on the NHL season that got off with a raucous start last night. So I understand where and when we can go down certain deep, dark avenues that end up giving you, you know, hives or whatever else you want to call it.
Yeah, when we get to this Buffalo-Tennessee game, we heard Dave Mason talk about how all the tickets are being on the Buffalo side. Professional money is on Tennessee here. We've seen this open as high as 4. We're now under that key number of 3. There's really not much secret with this game. Tennessee off the bye week. Buffalo really, 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 really dinged up. When you talk about some of the weapons Tyrod Taylor will have to work with this week, we know he's without Shady McCoy. It looks like he's going to be without Carlos Williams as well if he can't pass the concussion protocol. Sammy Watkins is also a big, big question mark, and that basically just leaves Clay out there. So Tennessee definitely is the side of the professionals. At this point, at this number, not a ton of value left. We talk about using 6-point teasers. That might be a great option, getting Tennessee back through that 3 and back through the 7.
Yeah, always good to see Rex Ryan running his mouth about a upstart quarterback in Marcus Mariota, and it's going to be an interesting game to see exactly how Tennessee attacks that Buffalo defense. I think a game that's kind of flying under the radar as far as the national landscape's concerned, the Atlanta Falcons, a 7-point favorite right now at Bet Online. You do have to lay $1.20 if you want to back the home chalk. Total in this game sits at 48 against the Washington Redskins. I know we hit on him a bit Monday when we talked about Kirk Cousins and engineering that late game-winning drive, but where do we go to start handicapping this one, and is Atlanta overvalued yet again?
I mean, I think that's the biggest question right there. Is Atlanta overvalued? And for me, the resounding answer is yes, absolutely. I like Atlanta more than anybody this season, and this is just not a good spot for them, in my personal opinion. Washington here did take some professional money at 8.5, 8. We're going to see this game trend towards 7. Does DeSean Jackson play this week? Big question mark. He has been out there practicing. Perry Riley, does he play this week? He's been out there practicing. We know he's an Atlanta guy, so he'll definitely want to try to give this game a go. Kirk Cousins, confidence-wise, we saw a huge, huge drive from him. I think that can only help things. The key here is Gruden. Is he going to be smart enough to rely on the run game more than he typically has been the last few weeks? That's going to be the key here. If he does that, I think Washington gets the cover.
Yeah, it should be one of the more interesting games. I think you look at the total as well. Can make a slight case for, obviously, the dog and under being correlated for just those reasons. If Washington wants to be successful, they're going to need to run the football and probably a defense that continues to fly under the radar, not getting enough credit for what they've been able to accomplish early. We look at a pair of 1-3 teams going head-to-head at Arrowhead. Kansas City, a 9-point favorite. Most shops, BetOnline included. We are seeing an 8.5 pop up at some places offshore. The total in this game, 46.5 down to 45. Good opportunity potentially to back Kansas City as over a touchdown favorite and maybe fade the Bears off their first win of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we look at this game, maybe waiting to go on KC seems to be the best bet. When you talk about Chicago, looks like a public dog here. Looks like they might get the services of Alshon Jeffrey back, so that would be a big boost. But regardless of the situation here, I think KC does get healthy here. We know Chicago off the big win. This is really Kansas City's season here. The last few weeks, tough scheduling spot, tough teams in general. The offense started to get really going last week. Alex Smith looked good, threw for nearly 400 yards. This is a Chicago Bears defense that is in some trouble. It looks like they have some secondary woes at safety this week, so that could be a big, big issue here. For me, it's Kansas City or pass, and at this stage, with the public on the dog, with the potential upgrade of Alshon Jeffrey looming, you might want to wait on Kansas City here. Again, I think it's a fantastic teaser leg also this week.
Yeah, you mentioned using potentially the square bear dog as you favorite, as you affectionately refer to it in New England, could see this potentially being another good teaser leg. As you mentioned, you talk about the Bears' struggles defensively. Two teams that haven't really had their defensive struggles, the Lockhorns at Lambeau. You're looking at the Packers, a 9-point favorite against the Rams, of course, St. Louis. I don't want to call it smoke and mirrors their win a week ago against the Cardinals, but they did show an ability to move the football. We talked a little bit about what Todd Gurley may mean to giving this offense balance. But this game, surprisingly enough, we're seeing about a 50-50 bet split right now between these two teams. So maybe the Rams on the uptick and people thinking that Green Bay is poised to regress amid their perfect against the spread record to start the season.
Really a tough game for me to gauge. You get Green Bay back home, tough travel. St. Louis was the professional side here. They grabbed 10. They took the double digits. It was kind of a smoke and mirrors victory for them last week. Arizona just was not efficient in the red zone. They turned the ball over 3 times. But heading into the fourth quarter, it was about 180 to 400 yards difference. We saw Gurley kind of take over, and that's going to be the key this week. They need to establish that ground game with Gurley, kind of get him off his carries restriction limit. We know one thing about this defense with Green Bay. They really cannot stop the run this year, so that's going to be the key here. One thing I did like to see with St. Louis, Foles was starting to get acclimated to some of his receivers. Brian Quick didn't have a target, but maybe in week two he gets implemented a little more. What I did like to see was some imagination out of the St. Louis offense. They don't really have a true number one that you're going to line up on the outside and say, beat your man one-on-one and give Foles a target. They went to these bunch formation three wide receiver sets, and they used Tavon Austin's quickness to get off the line of scrimmage, and it really presented some issues for the defense. If they go back to that, I think St. Louis is a decent play here. Again, we took them at 10, a little different story here under the double digits.
Now, I have a question in terms of Tavon Austin. You do a lot more work in player personnel than I do. You kind of look over his stats and see one big catch there. Do we feel he's the kind of guy that Nick Foles can come to rely on as a viable deep threat, or will Brian Quick more or less emerge as his go-to guy when you look at this Rams offense, if they're going to be able to stretch the field, not only this week against Green Bay, but as they get deeper into the final three-fourths of the regular season?
I've kind of always viewed Tavon Austin as that slot guy, the guy who's so quick, he just beats his man off the line of scrimmage, provides that dump-down target, so to speak, more of a run-after-the-catch guy. He did have a great big catch this past weekend, but he really operated in the slot, beat his man, presented that target for Foles. Brian Quick, I think he's kind of a surprise to this team. He did very, very well early in the season last year before getting injured, but remember, really no time to work with Foles. I think as they start to get acclimated to each other a little bit more over the next few weeks, I think he's going to be a viable target for Foles.
And the Packers, as we've mentioned so many times in this podcast, have done nothing but fatten wallets of people looking to back them. They're 7-1 against the spread their last 8 games, and 7-1 against the number their last 8 games played at home in October. We talk all the time, the key to winning and covering in the NFL, not turning over the football, and when you have Aaron Rodgers under center, it gives you a chance to cover big numbers each and every week. You mentioned Tavon Austin and some of his potential as a wide receiver, a guy who can do it all, obviously A.J. Green. And his Cincinnati Bengals have started off the season hot. They beat Kansas City a week ago and covered relatively comfortably, despite some sharp money coming in on the dog. We know the Chiefs' red zone woes were well chronicled. But since he sits a three-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks, Seattle off that short week, and maybe a smoke and mirrors win of their own, thanks in part to the bet that wasn't called by K.J. Wright in their win Monday night against the Lions.
This is one of the tougher games for me to gauge. When you really break this down, and how we look at it is Seattle hasn't been very good this year. That's point-blank simple. Even their two wins, they're up 6-0 at home against the Bears. Last week, obviously a very, very fortunate victory. And now you have them traveling basically across the country. You see Cincinnati, 4-0. Everything looks great. Andy Dalton's just flinging the ball all over the park. And you open this game 2.5. that kind of set off some signals to me. But at this point, what does the public think of Seattle? I think they kind of think they're trending in the right direction. I don't think that's the case. We're now out to 3 here on Cincinnati. Probably was a good value bet. I know Mason said he took some sharp money at 2.5. This morning, though, we have seen some resistance. It's still sitting 3, but now it's Cincinnati 3-05. I really don't want anything to do with this game. It's a game that I'm definitely going to watch probably multiple times. We've seen Seattle's offense just struggle. The offensive line's a train wreck, and unless it's basically an improv session from the quarterback, Russell Wilson, the offense doesn't do much. They need to get Lockett involved more. I think that's going to be the key here, but the offense just a mess for Seattle.
And this game, when you watch, and this may be more of a big picture type scenario, how much would the handicap for you personally change on this game if Seattle had come off a more traditional Sunday afternoon kickoff instead of playing late Monday night than having to fly into the Eastern time zone to take on Cincinnati? Do you think we'd see that potential difference with full rest reflected in this number and maybe the market sits at that 2.5 where the price opened?
I think that's one of the elements that we incorporate into our numbers. It's probably not something that's going to reflect a ton. It's just an added element, an added layer that we use for our handicapping purposes. I think when you get the Monday night standalone game and most people potentially could have been asleep on the East Coast by halftime and they saw,
as they should have been given how that football game went, unless you were sitting on under ticket, there was no reason to stay up and watch that pathetic display of offensive football from both those sides.
Yeah, so I mean, I think from a public perception standpoint, they were able to see them on Monday night. They were able to get a win. They've won 2 in a row since Cam Chancellor's been back, and they think all is well in the world. So I don't think that would have affected this number at all.
Gotcha. It's always one of those things that I know we talk about, what odds makers can actually incorporate in the line before they inject too much opinion in there, creating value for some of the sharper bettors that don't place the same emphasis on certain situational factors, statistical categories, or whatever else ends up going into that complex handicapping equation. And this game, Dave talked about in great detail. We know books far and wide around the world will be rooting for the Dallas Cowboys, not only to cover the number against the New England Patriots, but to win outright. You're looking at New England, an 8.5-point favorite at BetOnline currently. Total in this game, 49.5. Interesting trend, and it's not a large sample size. New England won 4-1 against the spread the last 6 times they've come off a bye, but this is a completely different animal against the Cowboys team, still searching for its identity, minus Tony Romo and Dez Bryant in the mix.
See, I think that's probably the one trend that you could have a larger sample size on because Brady and Belichick have been there for so long, and we know historically, they've been exceptional off a bye week. The key here, I think, for, the Cowboys is they get Greg Hardy back, they get Rolando McClain back. It looks like Sean Lee's going to go. Those are three huge, huge pieces for them. You potentially get Randy Gregory back in the fold the next few weeks. I think Dallas is going to shockingly have to rely on their defense when you look at Brandon Whedon. For me, though, when you kind of break this game down, has Dallas ever been good in their new building? It's just so tough. And I'm always the guy that's on the ugliest teams every single week, and I just can't do it here with Dallas. We did see this trickle up to 10. There was some resistance at that price. 7, as I alluded to on Monday, was just a horrific opener. It really was. I had to open 7.5 or even 8 just to kind of not allow sharp guys to get out and lay 7, knowing where this would go. So we've seen public money on New England. We've also seen some sharp guys lay that 7, knowing how high this would go. And when you can lay 7 and take 10, the books are at the mercy of sharp bettors.
I think that's a great point you bring up. And so many times people think, pros are only going to take these ugly ducklings no matter what the price and how these things work out. Typically, we see the books and professionals aligned on the same side going head-to-head with the public. But to talk about the pros, knowing that the 7 wasn't going to last, the public was going to drive this number up, it makes a ton of sense to try and lay the best price, knowing full well that you can get off of that position, swallow a little bit of juice, potentially with that 3-point middle there. And I think that kind of lesson oftentimes is lost on the recreational bettor who just assumes, well, the books are begging to try and take Dallas. Every professional is going to take the Cowboys, no matter what the number that gets hung on this particular game.
Yeah, absolutely not. Any opportunity that we can get to kind of get out ahead of the market, regardless of what the end position is going to be, we're going to do that. We see it a lot of times in the week with totals, with Monday night totals or Sunday night totals. Get out ahead knowing the public's going to be the side. We saw a little bit of that this past week with the Sunday night game between Dallas and New Orleans. Got out ahead, went over at the little opener, got as high as 49.5 in professionals, just whacked that game under. So you'll see that a lot.
Yeah, and I guess the Sunday night cap game that's very uninteresting, uninspiring. I don't know the best way to try and spin this. Of course, people are going to bet it and be watching it, even with some playoff baseball potentially on their second screens. The New York Giants, 7-point favorite, total of 43. San Francisco has kind of fallen on tough times, to put it mildly. A cross-country trip to take on the Giants, who entered this game fresh off their upset victory against Buffalo. Personally, I don't have a whole lot here, but I know a lot of our fans are curious, and our loyal listeners, they're going to invest, wanted a little bit of know-how from us on this particular contest.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done anything with this game yet. Obviously, the Giants, we were on last week. They get the outright win at Buffalo. San Francisco is just a mess. Nobody's going to want a piece of them. This is going to be a big, big decision for the sports books, I think, come Sunday. Maybe the best thing is for San Francisco and teams in general just to get the heck out of town, get away from, you know, their own media, their own beat writers a little bit. But Kaepernick's just a mess. Tom Sula isn't a guy that's going to throw a crazy game plan at you. So this is just really tough for me to get behind San Francisco. We'll see what happens as things unfold. It becomes a completely different handicap if this gets to 7.5. There could be potential for that. We know the groups battle a little bit, and some of them get a little trigger happy and go ahead of others when they're not typically supposed to. 7.5, I think, you know, you'd probably look to San Francisco, but we're not there at this point yet. There's just not a lot to like, even San Francisco's defense at this point, allowing 6.2 yards per play. It's been very bad. And I went and digged at this game a little bit, thinking as bad as Colin Kaepernick had been, that the San Francisco defense has been on the field a ton. And that really hasn't been the case. They're just not very good on defense either. So this is really a tough, tough spot when you talk about a Giants team that's looking to get above 500, could potentially be 4-0. So nothing for me on this game yet.
Yeah, I think the Giants have to be considered one of the early season surprises, along with the Falcons and Panthers' undefeated starts. You mentioned the Giants a couple plays away from being undefeated themselves, and the defense, which was a major question mark coming into the season, has actually been a strength of this team. For me personally, we'll see what happens with this total. I think if it could potentially tick up with some public money, again, we could get into a first-half under type situation, thinking that if that Niners defense can step up and make a handful of plays, the Giants defense will be able to carry the banner themselves and keep that game under. But for me personally, much like you, did some digging, didn't find a whole lot of reason to invest. Investing advice is what we're here for in Bet the Board. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on both iTunes and SoundCloud. If you're not already following Payne, do so at Payne Insider on Twitter. You can follow me at Todd Furman. And, of course, our Thursday weekly guest, you can follow him at Dave Mason, BOL, for some great information. Always happy to share the perspective on what's going on at his particular sports book as far as liabilities, some of the sharper positions, and not just for football, but also college, Major League Baseball, and any other sport that tickles your fancy. And of course, Payne, our job isn't complete until we handicap the Thursday night game, Indianapolis at Houston. We've seen a major shift in the market, obviously, as Andrew Luck's status hugely in flux, hasn't officially been ruled out, but the Colts opened as a 1-point chalk. Right now you're looking at Houston, a 4-point favorite at BetOnline, the total from 45 down to 41. Of course, a very different handicap now if you're looking to back the Texans through the key number than what you could have done early this morning, as Mason said, when the Sharps came in on the money line and laid the price of 2.5 or better.
Yeah, definitely tough to navigate now, and I think really the big question is the shoulder injury for Andrew Luck. Is it more than a bruise, or is this strategic? You look up and you see that division, you're already 2-0. You can skip the Texans game, focus on the revenge game with the Patriots coming up, and it really allows you to get 20 full days of rest for Luck. And this may pay dividends later in the year. You're essentially giving your best player three bye weeks. When it comes to handicapping this game, a little tougher now. Houston was the spot originally coming into this game, regardless of who was going to be at quarterback. Now you're asking Matt Hasselbeck, 40 years old. He's sick.
Is he only 40? I think he's like 65 at this point.
He's battling the flu, short week, division game, so they're going to be familiar. And I know they got the win last week, but again, he's 40. As bad as the Colts' offense had been the first 3 weeks, shouldn't say bad, disappointing, so to speak. Hasselbeck got the win last week. The team still averaged 1.1 yards less per play with him at quarterback. It's just a significant loss here. What I can tell you is, again, professionals laid the pick, laid the money line on Houston. At some point, though, this line will get to be ridiculous. And professionals, I think, will come back in on Indianapolis, take those points, play the middle a little bit. I know some injury information's kind of getting withheld on Andrew Luck. Once he's finally, if that's the case, ruled out, this line could really, really skyrocket. And you will see professional money come in on Indianapolis at that point.
You mentioned injuries, Payne, and you look at the Texans' injury report. They're not devoid of potentially some big absences for them. Nate Washington a little nicked up, Cecil Shorts. Any further input on how that receiving core is going to look for Ryan Mallett, who's had his struggles even with every single weapon at his disposal this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably line up Kelvin Johnson, A.J. Green, and Brandon Marshall, and Mallett would still have issues. But, you know, he's not very good. And, you know, we were hoping for Hoyer here. We didn't get him, so it's tough to navigate at this point. I think when you look at this first half total, again, I know you did a great job. You got out ahead of the market a little bit, went under 21.5. I still think at 20.5, there is some small value, especially with Mallett starting. I wouldn't be interested in that if it was Hoyer, but with Mallett still going, with Hasselbeck, the short week, we talked about some injuries to the offense. That's probably got a small, small value bet still left in it.
That's one of the things we talk about, and we're here to provide some of the best advice we can in terms of markets moving, getting out ahead of the numbers. Unfortunately, some of the injuries preclude you from getting involved. And I think it's important for a lot of our listeners. You know, we do this podcast for the 99% out there. It is okay to exercise discretion, sit back and pass on an NFL game. We still have plenty of weeks to go and some great investing opportunities rather than throwing around our bankroll kind of haphazardly. And that's one thing that I know you and I, Payne, take a lot of pride in, trying to impart that instead of cramming bets down people's throats that we're not personally going to be on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think I've ever told anybody to bet a game that I wasn't personally invested in myself. What we do is definitely try to sharpen up the 99%. But fortunately, if you are the 1%, we know there are guys out there that are in the 1% that are listening to this podcast. It's still valuable to them because I think every game we talk about moves in the right direction. So I think there's nuggets for everybody. But again, this is definitely more geared towards the 99%.
And speaking of moving in the right direction, as we put a wrap on our Week 5 Thursday night NFL podcast here at Bet the Board, we're starting to see some money on the Philadelphia Eagles enter the market, ticking out to 5 at some of the sharper offshore books, a game that I know we discussed in great detail on Monday. But for Payne Insider, remember, follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. Dave Mason of Bet Online, who we thank joining us each and every Thursday. Follow him on Twitter, at Dave Mason, Bet Online. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. And remember, subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, or visit toddstake.com. Best of luck. Week 5, we'll be back Monday with a full in-depth breakdown of the Chargers-Steelers, a movie preview of Sicario that I know Payne quite enjoyed, and, of course, a recap of our impressive performances and disappointments for Week 5 of the NFL. In the meantime, best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.